Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hammer Down podcast on the Market Scale Network. My name is Mike Bush. I'm joined today by Neil McAvoy, who runs sales and customer engagement and customer success for C3 Solutions. Neil, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Really, really glad to talk to you today.
Delighted to have you here. So tell me, let's get right into it. What does C3 Solutions do?
So we are a cloud software provider into the logistics and supply chain world, and we supply site flow software solutions. So appointment scheduling, dock execution, yard management, and driver collaboration communication. All those things that help small, medium, and large companies just handle their inbound, outbound, and transfer activity across a sort of wide network. So whether you're a grocer, a manufacturer, a parcel post courier company, where C3 can offer some value in trying to reduce the headache, streamline your processes, and automate as much of those execution tasks as possible.
Okay, so if I've got it right, predominantly we're talking to warehouses and yard, basically anywhere I would store goods. Oh. And we're making it easier, one, for drivers to set an appointment, and theoretically, two, for the leaders of those organizations in a warehouse, in a manufacturing setting, in a yard setup, to say, hey, I've got this driver coming in. Let me make sure I'm staffed appropriately for him. Is that right?
Exactly right, Mike. Yeah. So a lot of the headaches are there's so many moving parts. There's hauliers, there's vendors, there's our client, who are usually the warehouse owner or the site owner that have stores and have DCs and all that good stuff. And it is, like being the conductor in an orchestra. There are many different things playing, and trying to do that on a scale where you have a national or regional area with many different stakeholders is nigh on impossible to manage without a robust and dynamic system. So many do try, and many kind of, I guess, people do it well. The fact that we have multinational companies that still use spreadsheets is pretty amazing. But we really want to work with people in that world to try and get rid of the headache, the stress, and the, let's say, inefficiencies that they're probably dealing with every day, and let them focus on their people, on their customers, and on their products.
Sure. What, customer shows up, says, look, I've got seven or eight warehouses. I would like to work with you. What are the key benefits that they've been searching for, or what are the benefits that they inevitably get by partnering up with C3?
Okay, I think first things first, we're going to give them a huge amount of visibility where they don't have it today. So a lot of the stuff that they're doing is fact-finding, or they'll hear it when there's something on fire, so to speak. So a customer's mad, a store doesn't have their stock, a trailer can't get off site, so some haulier's trying to find them, some kind of late detention fee or whatever. So often people in this sort of control tower, planning, goods in scenario, they're often fighting fires and they're really just being a middleman and trying the best they can do to get by. So what we're going to do straight away is take all that headache away, take all that stress, and give a team a digital platform. It's fully online, fully visible, and also dynamic with many different changing things throughout the day and the week. And just allow all of the key stakeholders in that kind of business relationship, carriers, suppliers, brokers, give all of those guys some kind of access to their environment, the environment that C3 provides, which is an online schedule or an online platform, and allows them, those people, to have full visibility without picking up the phone, without emailing, without, chasing up drivers manually. So straight away, that removes all those stress elements. But then, as a byproduct of having a good, dynamic, visible schedule, allows the operators to now start looking at optimization. How do I make best use of my site, my doors, my labor, my equipment and tools, and just really focusing on things that they should be focusing on, instead of the exceptions that become huge drama points of that day. And nobody likes to deal with that. So that's what we're offering immediately. And just with anything that you measure well and you have lots of data for, you can all of a sudden become better at that because you know where to focus your time and your efforts in of you and your team.
How did C3 get started? This is a cool story. How did you
Yeah.
How did you get off the ground?
It's a very interesting story. So, and again, unlike many in the field, C3 has been around for a software company a very long time. It's 24 years old, started in the year 2000 in Montreal, Canada. And basically we have two co-founders, Nick Couture and Gregory Braun. And those two guys worked, they were working in the transport industry for a big Canadian haulage company. And they had built a system in-house to try and solve some of the problems with where to park trailers on the yard, because, you know, there was tons of trailers on these big lots. They wanted to park them in optimal ways. They wanted to know what the contents on the trailer was. And they want to know which supplier was to take and, you know, drop what load where. And they basically built this in-house system that the owner of that transport company had then encouraged these guys, hey, you should probably use this to start your own company, because, you know, this is something truly magical and really will change the game in the industry. So it was one of the first, I would say, pure YMSs. And yeah, 24 years ago, they started this with, we started to, you know, sell it to other customers. And now they have this very, very impressive customer base around, you know, in almost all the continents of the world, very many time zones in loads of really cool industries, very, very strong market in Canada, US, UK, Australia, mainland Europe. So yeah, that was what was just a brainchild of two guys working frustrated in a world where they had no visibility, led to something that's, you know, put C3 where it is today as one of the market leaders in sort of yard flow software. So very cool story.
That is a very cool story. I feel like if you ever caught the How I Made This with Stuart Butterfield, he talks about how Slack launched not because it was a product, but because they built an internal messaging system to say, hey, we want to keep a repository of all our customer service. Feels very similar to that approach.
Yeah, and I think, again, I'm not criticizing coming it from another angle, but the angle was very much of, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. We have a particular set of problems that we're trying to use an ingenious method of fixing. It maybe wasn't the first method they tried. I'm sure there was other methods that were more manual, and, you know, 2000, the digital age wasn't really the same as we are today. There was computers, but not in the same way as we, you know, certainly weren't in your pocket and in your car. But yeah, those guys are very much, that's where Solutions came from in the C3 Solutions brand name. We are very much focused on not necessarily selling off the shelf products, because our stuff is not what you would call off the shelf software, but more configuring solutions to customer problems or customer vision, and trying to meet that journey with our clientele, and try to understand exactly how we can add value, and really push their businesses and their operations further and facilitate growth at the same time. Because since the whole pandemic, the supply chain has very much changed. Everybody's kind of a talking point from everybody's lips, because, you know, before it was just people in the industry, I guess, like you and I, Mike, that knew about supply chain problems. Now it's front page news a lot of the time, and it's on blogs and on social media everywhere. So, that's the fact that Greg and Nick still work in our business. They're still at the forefront of strategy and, you know, CEO and CRO respectively. So, you know, we still have that ethos of solutionizing. We still have that ethos of, you know, evolving our product to the market, to the individuals. You know, we learn just as much from our customers and what they feel about where our software should go as we do from our own development team and our own sort of experts within our industry. So I think that kind of synergy between the market, the customer, and the software provider is kind of where we really like to find ourselves, and it's proven quite successful for us to this point, and we continue to grow as a result of that.
Sure. Neil, you touched on the pandemic. Obviously, we saw lots of supply chain transformation and lots of agility. I think that became the buzzword of COVID. Does C3's solutions allow companies to run sort of, you know, simulations as to what would happen? And by that, I mean, so we're looking at a circumstance where we may see a strike on the East Coast with dock workers, and lots of shippers are saying, oh, I need to move, you know, lots of imports through the West Coast all of a sudden. Are you able to sort of help those customers say, okay, you know, if this, then that, if we have to move 70% of our goods in through LA Long Beach or through Oakland, you know, here's what that would do to our warehouses out there as well?
Yeah, so almost all of our clients, I mean, there are a few that maybe don't take this option, but almost all of our clients have a test environment. So some of them have two. They'll have a test environment for their IT guys to do testing and integration and all that cool stuff. And then they'll also have a training environment. So if you're new to the business and new in a role, you know, you're going to go and work in a gatehouse, you're going to go and work on goods in, you need to know how to use C3 because it's an integral part of the operation. So, you know, these test environments are kind of mirror images of the production environment. So similar data, all the same configuration, everything looks and feels like it does. And we have the ability to run scenarios within those environments, especially for in the instance or the example you gave, where we have multiple different sites and multiple different touch points. You know, sometimes it's just a parking lot where people store extra trailer or extra sort of fleet. So what we can do is basically use those test environments without any risk to the operation, without any risk to, you know, sometimes it's just a company has a war room and they sit there and they run these scenarios of what if we need to run that contingency plan that we've always thought we didn't want to ever have to worry about. And, you know, in COVID, this was happening a lot. So you can run these scenarios and you can see, well, what would happen? You know, where's my breaking point? How many trailers can I fit on this site? What does it do to my site flow? Does it mean my trailer's going to kind of take longer to get in and out? And now with our C3 Hive technology, we've kind of bridged the gap between the appointment plan and the site execution. And we're communicating with drivers on the road. And we're taking the geolocation from their own smartphone to see real live ETAs and give our clients and their third parties, hauliers, brokers, vendors, full visibility of the, you know, the entire sort of infrastructure at play from a sort of site flow and you know, on the road, at site, under the roof scenario. So yeah, many of our customers who are, let's say, more forward thinking, use their tester environments to great power. And yeah, we always try to support and help facilitate that whenever, especially when they have a big launch. You know, what if something goes wrong? We have to go into a less than optimal scenario. What can we do to do it? So yeah. We do a lot of support with customers on that. And yeah, many of the guys end up showing us stuff about our software because they use it so in such a particular manner that they kind of, right, you know, come back and give us some insight about where we might want to take the product to improve it in a certain way. So yeah, very, very cool, organic way of using the software. And some of our clients that have been around since 2000, we have a few customers that are on that length of tenure. So, you know, we have really close connections with those guys, and the super user fraternity that C3 deals with, we're all very familiar with it. We also have a product advisory group where we get those guys on a huge call twice a year and, you know, just feedback different ideas and scenarios about how to enhance their use of it. And it's not just the system for system's sake. It's also how they help their sites flow and become more user friendly for the drivers and warehouse staff that they you know, have you used the system on a daily basis.
Sure. So Neil, of course, I've stalked you on LinkedIn prior to our conversation and saw that you kind of came on board as sort of a management consultant, then moved into running customer experience before taking over biz dev. Given that sort of career path, which I think is really interesting because you learned here's what's successful and then theoretically moved into sales to say, here's what other customers are doing and here's how you can replicate it. What have been sort of the key drivers of decision making for a company to say, yeah, C3 is the right fit? Or best said, what are the sort of KPIs that you show very early? Hey, we're going to improve this, that, the other.
I think that one thing that in our world, when we know that we're having success, is that we can see the sort of organic growth of the tool. So if a customer sees that there is some some or a lot of value, return on investment, you know, cost saving, whatever it may be, and there may be several of those things at once, is you quickly see that they set up their instance of C3 in more than one place. So, you know, it can catch like wildfire. They have a proof of concept site or a pilot go live, or they just want to go live at a site that has a particular set of problems. And then when they realize the sort of richness or depth of the software, they kind of want to push it out. So One KPI that we're really interested in is just how, you know, how much the system's used. So the more how busy the system is in terms of how many appointments they're dealing with or how many trailers or trucks they're dealing with at their gate. So those details where you get a customer that you were, okay, they were using 50,000 appointments a year and all of a sudden they're using 500,000 appointments, you know, you realize that although there's some help setting these further sites up, subsequent ones, then, you know, you can see that there's obviously been some, you know, outside of the site management, the national, regional, global team have seen power in that. And that's often a way where we know that we can add a little bit more focus and support to this account and really give them the sort of foot up, a little bit of a support into doing that in a bit more of a standardized, structured, consistent way. I think that's very, very good. I think another thing that because we're so integral to these very high octane, high pressure supply chains is that if our system is not running even for a few minutes, the phones, the support tickets are going crazy. So I think one great KPI that we've seen usually come down is the amount of support tickets at the same time as our uptime is kind of at, it's all, you know, the high 99.99%. So you can tell that, you know, like your system can be brilliant, but if it's not online or it's not accessible by your users, it's non-existent. So one thing that our technical team and our sort of IT guys are very, 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 you know, kind of concerned with and obsessed with even is to make sure that the infrastructure is the most powerful and also just the most logical for the way that we, you know, because we have big peak periods. So, you know, come Black Friday, Cyber Monday week, you know, the actual use of our system goes into orbit. So if we're not prepared for those sort of spikes in activity, then we're dead in the water and our customers are not going to be too happy with us come the end of year review. So, you know, that another, you know, making sure uptime is close to perfect and making sure those tickets of, tickets are very down. And we've seen that year on year. So clearly the guys in IT, and our tech teams are doing a fantastic job.
One of the things you've touched on a couple of times is that it's a cloud-based solution, which theoretically means basically to your point of scalability, you know, when it's peak season, we throw more servers at the problem. We're able to maintain that 4 or 5 9 level uptick, which is 99.999%. The show focuses on folks who haven't necessarily worked in supply chain or haven't, you know, they're considering a role here. What percentage of your competitors are in that on-premise site? Like, who are you replacing, How much do you find that it's sort of a rip and replace where you're going to say, okay, you've got a server in the corner over there that's running some legacy system. Let's talk about how we make it more valuable.
Believe it or not, our most common when we go into a business and we kind of introduction and we go into sort of implementation phase, most of the time, I would say above 75 or 80% of the time, we are replacing a manual system of spreadsheets, shared documents, SharePoint, you know, just something, there's a live document with maybe doors, with site parking, could be zones. And, you know, really it's just reliant on human beings updating that and keeping that close to realistic. There's no real automation on taking stuff from gate to door, from park to exit gate or whatever. And it's just reliant, and I'm not blowing smoke up with the industry that I've worked in for 20 years, but I truly mean it. It's relying on a lot of intelligence, a lot of experience from the human beings that work in that. And that's why the scalability is tough, because you can't replicate 25 years of experience in, you know, a guy or a girl who's worked at these places where knows every nook and cranny of a site, what happens to different types of trailers and different suppliers' priority. So we're trying to, you know, go in there and learn as much as we can from these experts and then do away with all this manual processing. So most of the time we do that. There are occasions when we do have, some on-premise software. C3 had on-premise software before its cloud system. So sometimes we're replacing our old system. I think most of the time, and it's a pretty novel endeavor, I wouldn't recommend it because obviously that's why I'm in the game I'm in, but a lot of people have their own solutions in-house and usually they're, you know, a little bit more, you know, not much more than a spreadsheet type system. You know, and that's a testament to some of the operators and managers out there, because they run a very tight ship with little technology in this space.
Sure. So Neil, you've been in the industry for 20 years. First off, congrats. 2 decades is a long time to be at anything. And I love that. So if you were talking to somebody who's new to the supply chain or thinking about, is this the right career path for me? What's the piece of advice you would give them? Or what's the thing you wish somebody would have told you early in your career?
Wow, very good question. I guess first chunk of that question, I think one thing that I learn every few years, really, and I have done since the start, is that supply chain is just so big that we could sit here for hours hours upon hours and just describing all the different component parts, departments, job roles, layers of management. You know, there truly is a huge kaleidoscope of different roles and different sort of segments within that, you know, whether you're analytical, whether you're engineering type brain, whether you're mathematical and scientific, or you're a people person and a systems, you know, there's something in there for everybody. I've worked with people. I did a lot of work in my years in Parcel Post, working with graduates, people straight out of college with, you know, degrees from some of the best universities in the world. And some people came with, you know, a university degree in yard management, right? Very niche, very particular. Others did history, advanced history degree. And truly, in amongst that mix of people, you have everything. You know, like I think there is a role for everybody. So just because it kind of seems like trucks, trailers, sites and warehouses, you know, a very maybe male-oriented industry, it's not that way anymore. There's so much technology, there's so much cool analytics and analysis that goes into these companies, because they are they're the spine of most of what we do every day. You go and buy a product, you order something online, it touches the supply chain several times. It touches the systems, and there's a lot of eyes of it on it, not just companies, but the, you know, managers, supervisors. So for me, there was never a dull moment, and I really got an opportunity to work, you know, along with my passions and where I felt I was interested in going. The industry was helped me get there. In terms of what advice would I give myself or give someone who's young and starting out, is I don't know. I put an amazing amount of pressure on myself early on to try and make the decision of what I should be. Put myself in a sort of cookie cutter and say, okay, I want to do operations management in transport, right? And what I found that for the first 2 years, most companies who have an intern scheme or a sort of graduate scheme, or you don't have to be a college graduate even, you can just go in there to most of these companies and do a sort of training program. Some of them are like from warehouse to management, from road to, so I, some of the best managers and best thinkers that I ever met in the industry were ex-drivers, ex-workshop managers, yard managers, security staff, and these people that just wanted to do something else. They had, you know, a good experience and used that as a springboard. So don't put too much pressure on yourself as a someone coming in, young or old, as a new person into the industry, because you're going to pick up tons of knowledge along the way and you'll be able to find your niche. So yeah, I would definitely say, I say this, I have a big family. My mum's one of 11 kids and my dad was one of five. I have tons of cousins, and all of them I would thoroughly encourage to get into logistics supply chain, because it's growing. Even with drones, robotics, AI, there always will be the need in the foreseeable future for, you know, good supply chains with good brains managing them and people to you know, kind of sort and deliver the product. So I think it's here to stay, and it's, you know, it's at this melting pot of innovation at the moment. So a very interesting place to be as a, you know, young or old person, definitely.
Sure. Neil, if somebody wants to reach out, get in touch with you, find out more about C3 Solutions, reach out to you personally, what's the best way to get in touch?
So we have a great website. So c3solutions.com has got tons of really cool stuff on there, videos, white papers, eBooks, and just information about our company and products. And if someone's interested maybe in learning more about, you know, us as a business, whether you're researching at a college or university, or you want to maybe, you know, try out C3's product for your business or organization, then sales@c3solutions.com is a really good email. Just it comes out to a few of us and whoever's area of expertise or you know, whichever geography, you know, is best suited to that rep. Someone will get in contact with you and have a call and you know, get in touch and start the conversations about, you know, where we could link up.
Sure. Two more quick questions for you. One, you talked a lot about, you know, drivers using a mobile app to provide information as to what their real-time ETA is. Are you doing that through integrations with existing TMS solutions? Are you doing that as a standalone app? How would a warehouse find out exactly where their stuff is in real time?
So I think our preferred, so to go back a step, one of the things that we, and again, it's a very small part, but just the idea of the airport check-in. Okay, so before people used to line up, get their paper ticket, drop their bags and do that. And it was, I guess that was a delay. So almost everybody now, especially if you're not, you know, you don't need to bring your passport, you're going US to US, Canada to Canada or whatever, then everything could be done on the app of United, you know, American Airlines, Air Canada, whatever it might be. And you know, just that, having all the details saved, my information saved, I don't have to put in all my details again and again, and then I can just go through the airport quickly, is the, I guess, a very similar analogy can be said about Hive. So a driver, whether they deliver to four or five different C3 sites or just one, whether you're an owned fleet or you're a third party driver, you know, it doesn't matter. So we're using the geolocation of that individual's phone to work with. I mean, there are some companies who don't like their driver's phone to come into contact with the sort of their working job. And we do have, you know, some workarounds for that. But generally speaking, we're very much of the, you know, of the mindset that, you know, this is the future. Drivers are very independent spirits by nature. They love to be on the road. They like to be their own boss. So, you know, allowing them to have full visibility of their routes on a given day, we can communicate with them. So that means when their route's ready to pull outbound, when they've just dropped their inbound, then they can get off site or get onto their next job or even home to their family quicker. You know, drivers like that. And we now have 75,000 active Hive users in just a few customers. So we've only just launched this product. So clearly there is a bit of a, you know, there's some interest and some ease being created by this because a lot of our clients said, oh, this will never work. So we kind of, you know, we put our faith in the app and we continue to develop it with the drivers in mind and with their feedback. But yeah, the geolocation of the phone and then the touch points at which they're, you know, when they access the site, we get a prompt. So yeah, all along the way, we're using that phone, but then we also have the ability through our other systems on the site to have full knowledge of their whereabouts on our yard management and our dock scheduling portal.
Listen, I appreciate it. Neil McEvoy from C3 Solutions, thank you so much for being a guest on Hammer Down.
No, Mike, it was a pleasure. So thanks a lot for giving me the time to talk with you today.